I'd really miss the kind of banter and just life of being in a shop, listening to what's going on next door. For me, that's a really massive part of the industry.
Yeah, we'll be talking about like football, politics, everything, man, what's going on around the world, man. People having be having their baby mama dramas, people going through divorce. We're not just barbers, we're also like therapists, man.
Yeah, yeah. Counselors.
Because we can give that therapy, you know, without a degree.
Got so many mates in this industry. Around New Year, they'll be like, shit, I've spent all my tax money. I haven't kept my books all year. I don't know how much tax I owe. Got this bill through and now I'm screwed. You're working in an industry where you're getting your money every day. You don't have to wait once a month to get money.
People are spending too much money, like, you know, just financing their lifestyle. Yeah. I'm like, look.
You're a barber, not a Premier League footballer.
That's yeah, it. People yeah, don't yeah. care like what you're wearing. Like, you're going to go and buy a £500 t-shirt. After a couple of weeks, you're boom, the value's dropped down. I'm looking great and I've literally just shopped at Temu. It's cost me what, a shape up? that's how I look at my money nowadays.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laband, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there. Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laband, and we are in Liverpool for part two with Romeo the Barber and Pete Cranfield. Thank you very much for part one, boys. I like that. It was very good.
Yeah.
Staying with our kind of positive outlook on the world, I do worry about the way studios seem to be taking over. I know you work in a studio, but you're, you know, a bit of another generation. You've done your stunts.
Time served.
You know, I'd really miss the kind of banter and just life of being in a shop, listening to what's going on next door. I think for me, that's a really massive part of the industry.
Yeah.
We agree with this, don't we?
Yeah. I'd say definitely it's a massive part of becoming a barber is spending that time in the barber shop, learning off of the barbers, learning how to, you know, socialize with your clients, how to treat clients. So many of the things I learned in the first couple of years of my barbering apprenticeship I've carried through, you know, for the last 20 odd years. So yeah, I feel like for young barbers, especially until you're fully established and you've got a good clientele and your skill sets to the top of its ability, I feel it's important to be in and around other barbers, to work in a barbershop or a salon or a space where you're working with other people. Yeah, it does take a lot of time to make the transition and work in a studio, you know, on your own, because it was something I did for loads of reasons, really. But, like I was saying, I constantly have to evolve my skills and read and learn. And I work with other people outside of the studio when I'm working with Barberless or, you know, I'm working at events and we're doing photo shoots, backstage stuff. I'm working alongside people, and so I am constantly picking stuff up, even though, you know, the majority of my time is spent in the studio. I do think it's important for younger barbers or, you know, barbers that are up and coming to spend that time in the barbershop.
It's a big part of kind of honing that skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
You never went for the studio. You've gone...
So I've always been...
You've got other guys working with you here.
Yeah. So I've always gone for that barbershop vibe, and obviously, like, my thing is... like, I never really wanted to be a barber, but it was something where somebody told me, oh, you're never going to be a great barber. And I was like, you know what? Let me prove something to you. So back then, everything that I was speaking about, I didn't even know there was something called manifestation. So back in my day, whenever I used to speak about, oh, yeah, I'm going to be cutting a footballer, that was me manifesting. But they would look at me like, you're chatting so much shit, man. And I'm like, yeah, sweet. So when I moved to Liverpool, yeah, that's when everything came into reality for myself. Yeah, I didn't go for the studio vibe because
I didn't realize, but you're a Londoner naturally.
Yeah, so obviously like you know, the idea of having a studio, I've pretty much worked in a studio myself. So the studio that I've worked in is people's bedrooms. Do you know what I mean? I've done that studio at the beginning where it was just me and the client, you know, people's kitchen, people's back garden, you know, even alleyways as well. Do you know what I mean? And then eventually, like, obviously I start working in the barbershop and I fell in love with the vibe where there's community, people talking to each other, that banter and all of that. Do you know what I mean? And that sort of, like, you know, it brings it builds like a strong brotherhood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as soon as everybody starts going on, you know, partying away, going to their own little places, and that vibe sort of like dies down. So even so, yeah, I love working in both like the barbershop and the studio. This is why now, yeah, I've got two in one, which is I'm here in the barbershop and then I'm in my studio upstairs.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
So I've got two in one yeah, place, you know yeah, what I mean? Bringing both of their vibes together,
yeah,
where I'm saying to the person, like, look, you want to go and own your own studio, try and work upstairs, yeah, by yourself, yeah, yeah, see how you like it. Or do you like the vibes down here?
Yeah.
So they can see both of the vibes and they always choose to come back downstairs.
Yeah.
I think it's a big part of the job. I mean, you know, like I think it's always been in my head, it, you know, cutting hair is one part of it, but it's the kind of atmosphere, the industry, it's the kind of, yeah, it's the whole package is what's yeah, kept me in yeah, through. Yeah. You know, I'm coming up next year, frighteningly, I'm 40 years of cutting hair.
Right.
I do look it, I know. but I'm still enthused. I'm still energized. Yeah, yeah. We're still getting up and schlepping around the country to come and see you, wonderful yeah, yeah, too. Yeah, yeah. Because I really do still get buzzed by the industry.
Yeah.
If I was just standing yeah, in my garage cutting hair day in, day yeah, out on yeah, the Todd.
Yeah. Can I say something that's brought something which has basically been taken from barbering? See, this podcast that we're doing right now, talking, this actually comes from barbering.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Three barbers working, clients sitting yeah, down yeah, there talking and that. And the clients are actually watching us here talk about football and that, yeah, and they're all watching.
Yeah.
So this is why, yeah, when you're looking at your live show, yeah, like, you know, match of the day, and you're seeing people sort of hanging around here,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
be on the table talking, like Michael Richards, for example. Michael Richards as well, yeah, he started, like, you know, basically implementing everything with barbering. Because barbering actually started the podcast and all this, you know, TV presenting
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, when yeah, you yeah, think about the barbering really industry.
Yeah. I never thought that, but it's yeah, true. We'd always said that we wanted to be having the most interesting chat at the end of a bar. You know, when you go into a bar,
yeah, and yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah,
a couple of lads going, what are they up to? and I like that, actually, without even realising it. It's exactly what we do. That's yeah, what we do it's day we in, do, day yeah, out, yeah, is chat across chairs and chat yeah, amongst the whole team.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be talking about like football, politics, mm, everything, man, what's going on around the world, man. Mm. People having their baby mama dramas, people going through divorce. They're all here talking about yeah, it. This is why we're not just barbers, we're also like therapists, man.
Yeah, yeah. Counselors.
Because yeah, we can yeah, give that yeah, therapy, you know, without a degree.
Yeah. I did love that. I think was it you that had a post yeah, that put yeah, up yeah, that, you know, that's yeah, yeah, save yourself a fortune, just get your hair cut. And I do like that. I think it's a really good environment, the chat, and I do think if you're just on your own in a studio yeah, with very few clients, just you and your camera, so that you can be talking yeah, to your Instagram community,
yeah,
can get a bit lonely. I think you're missing out on a big yeah, chunk of it.
Yeah, I'm actually opening the shop and we're starting the build in January, and I'm gonna go and work in the shop. So I'm gonna go yeah, back to work.
Welcome back!
Shop.
Congratulations! Yeah. Welcome back!
So, yeah, I've kind of, you know, I've done 10-11 years now, I think, outside mm, of the shop, and yeah, I've, you know, I decided, well, when I lost my old brand, I thought, I want to go again. Do you know what I mean? I want to start again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm starting a new. I'm gonna open a new shop and have people working in there. And yeah, it'd be nice to, as I say, be back yeah, in that environment.
Yeah, man, I'm proud of you, my bro.
Well done.
Yeah, man, I'm proud of you, man. Welcome back, man.
Well done.
You've been going for too long, man. We're glad to have you back in the streets, man.
But you come from such different backgrounds, the two of you. Like you say, you did traditional kind of 4-year apprenticeship,
yeah.
Moved shops to work with your boss
yeah,
who trained you when he opened up his.
Yeah.
Yours was accidental pair of clippers and started accidental
pair of
clippers,
man. I loved it, man. You know what I mean? You know what it is, man? Like, people don't realize is like everyone just looks at us, oh yeah, what's just holding a pair of clippers? When I hold a pair of clippers, I just feel powerful, man. I don't know what it is. Do you know what I mean? That's why it took me to all these places like that. I've never thought that would take me, man. Do you know what I mean? I've literally got a picture of myself holding a clipper saying, this pair of clipper that cost me only 70 quid. Is taking me to Portugal to go and cut some random person's hair I've never met.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they've paid for my accommodation, they've paid for my flights, and on top of that, yeah, they gave me a really good sum amount of money as well. Yeah, like, this is for you. And I was like, what? Like, you gave me this much? I couldn't believe it. Even when he booked me for my accommodation, I was only there for like 8 hours, and I had to catch the flight to come back. And he goes, don't worry about it. You know, I got it all covered. And I was like, wow, man.
But you see, that's still only part of your job. I mean, hey, good shouts to you. And that's fantastic. But, you know, you look at, you know, we were just chatting on the way up. Cal Newson just reached his ultimate goal and cut Cristiano Ronaldo's hair. You know, you're flying around the place. We see lots of picture, you know, lots of imagery of barbers getting on and cutting hair around the world. HD cuts is, you know, around the planet, you know, all great barbers. But every one of you are still coming back and grafting. You've still got a chair. You're still working. You've still got a business. You still get your clientele. Out of your last 15 years, you know, your celeb clientele, your travel, you still got to have that core base that you can't do. Definitely. You can't do that for a living. It's a nice thing to.
It's a nice to thing
have,
to have,
but it's not the. It's not your world.
It's not. It doesn't pay the mortgage. It's a different. Listen, when you're in that world, it's completely different. The type of lifestyle that you see and everything else, and I was like, you know what? I want to have that lifestyle, I want to have that lifestyle, by not being the person who casts the celebs, by that person. I want that person to also be me one day where I'm sitting there, flying a barber over. Hey, come cut my hair, man. Do you know what I mean? And I thought to myself, you know what, that's the lifestyle, that I got to give to myself. It's all good, to be known as a barber who cuts all the celebs. What if you should be known as a barber, who's inspired the industry, who, you know, people look up to, that's the barber that I want to be. I've had to step away from that life, footballer's life, and that, step away where I'm only basically, cutting one client's hair right now, who's a footballer. It sort of understands, like, my timings, where some footballers be like, you know what, I need you for a haircut right now, and I'm looking at my schedule thinking, so you want me to cancel 10 people to come to you right now? And then when you get there, it's like you go wait for them to finish their massage and that. You know what I mean? They go eat some lunch and that. They go do something. Do you know what I mean? And then by the time you realize, you're thinking, you've been out of the shop for too long. So now you got to come back to the shop. Now you're stressing out because the shop is always going to be my bread and butter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the bit. I think we're very lucky now with the industry that you can kind of do it all.
You can do it.
You know,
all,
you can have your shop. You can have your shop and your studio. You know, you can do a bit of celebrity. You can do it, but it all comes back to you. Your power comes from having a clientele, whatever they look like, whether it's loads of them for every 20 minutes or a few of them every hour, that are there and are paying you your salary. It does come back to you. You've got to generate your fan base of people that are going to come and spend their money with you.
It's nice, man. It's always like, you got to go to a hotel. Sometimes you go there, lighting isn't the best. And they sat down on a chair, that's really low. And I'm like, oh, my back is hurting. all of that, I'm like, this is why I got a shop this in this area as well. So they can come here as well, I've got a place upstairs. No one will know that they're here.
Yeah.
Even then, they don't want to come to the barbershop because they're so used to, getting a haircut in the comfort of their own home. So now it's like there's nothing we could do here but just go there and just try and do it.
I do love that. There's people out there listening to this now, I'm sure, who are desperately wanting to, cutting someone playing for Liverpool or a footballer or something. Now that celebrity, you're desperate for it, and you're complaining that they're sitting on a low chair,
doing your back in.
I get asked so many times of the younger generation of barbers. How do you go about? How do you get a celebrity clientele? How do you cut footballers here? And I think it's good to aim for that, but it's also you've got to build up the trust, you've got to build up the the skill set. You've got so many more things to consider before you actually start trying to tap into them clients. Like you were saying before, you've got to, your haircuts have got to be, you've got to be 100% confident that your haircuts are, right up there, because if someone's going to be paying you for your time to, we both travel around. I travel down to, I've got clients in London, I've got clients Manchester, I fly abroad to see clients. And so you have to charge for that time. So if someone's paying you that amount of money, then you've got to be prepared to, give them the best level of service.
Yeah.
But then on the same note, like you were saying before, your clients are your bread and butter. So my day-to-day clients get the same treatment that these guys get. And I'm traveling abroad to see you, and that's what I was saying before. Everyone, take me time. Everyone comes in, we have a chat. You've got to make everyone feel special. You can't just, you know, make that one celebrity client feel special. It's got to be the whole clientele.
And you know what? People don't understand this. Like, oh, you give your celebrities a special treatment. I was like, did you know? Yeah, I get footballers that come in the shop and ask me how many people you've got. And I'm like, I've got about 5 people. And I would actually sit and wait. Some of the footballers are very humble, but some people are scared to be like, oh, you know what? If I say to him, yeah, I've got 5 clients, he may just go away and never come back. So they sort of like feel like they're pressured. I'm like, don't be pressured. Like, even when I was doing my first ever like celeb client, the pressure that was going through my mind, I'm a great barber, yeah, but for some reason, yeah, like my hand was just shaking while I was shaping him up. I'm sweating there thinking, oh, is it? I don't want to be messing up his haircut and stuff like that. Like, I've been through it, and then it got to a stage where now I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, you know what, these are normal people, like, you know what I mean, everyday people. Okay, cool, their money is better than us, like their status in this world is different compared to us, but they're actually normal people living normal lives, do you know what I mean? And once I put my mindset to that point there, and I'm thinking, you know what, school, man, there's a lot of people that want to cut footballers, celebrities and that, but the pressure that comes with it, it may seem like fun and games and it's all cool and that, but trust me, man, it's not easy, man. Getting a phone call at midnight, hey, can you come out here quickly for a haircut? Look at HD, man.
Yeah.
Hey, he does not rest, man. I got respect for that guy.
Really, he's always,
he's always
been trying
on the
to
move.
Get him to sit down and talk to us for about 2.5 years. He's always around the planet. He really grafts, that boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, great stuff. I mean, he's got the most beautiful store. It's teaming with staff. It's quite incredible what he's up to. Yeah, and Slider, I mean, I always love that Mark always Slider's says he's cool. He's got some of the celebrities that are just cheekily wanting free haircuts rather than paid for haircuts.
I've had that countless times, like people, you know, expecting free haircuts, and it's embarrassing sometimes because it's more often than not, it's not like actual famous people or, you know, famous sports people. It's people who have been on, you know, maybe Love Island their PR company or their PA will message you and be like, oh, can you cut his hair for free? And I mean, I've done it in the past because I thought it would give me opportunities. But more often than not, it just gives you headaches. You know what I mean? These people, I book these people in for a free haircut for, you know, in exchange for some social media stuff or whatever. And they'll be late or they won't turn up. It's embarrassing more than anything. You know what I mean?
Your clients at the shop here, they are your bread and butter. Yeah? They're paying for your bills. They're paying for your rent. They're paying for your lifestyle. They're the ones that should be getting the number one service, man.
And that's the thing. If you're in the shop, it is, you know, people see in your haircuts leave, you know, recommending their mates. You're getting talked about. And that's how, you know, in my mind, that's much better way for you to find yourself with clients, celebrity clients, is a client, a mate of a mate of a mate kind of, and that's how it comes together because of your skill rather than you chasing them down like some lunatic PR-based stalker.
Yeah, it's like you get a lot of barbers that constantly just like DM like footballers, hey, can I come cut your hair? Like, mate, that's not how it works.
No.
Like, even I didn't have to message the footballers, like, you know what I mean? Like I said, 10 years ago, I spoke about cutting footballers, and then when the first person like walked in the shop, it was a footballer's friend, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Right.
His mate used to come to me for haircut. I used to give him sharp trims. And then from there, he brought him to the barbershop one day. And I was like, oh, damn, is that Dominic Calvert-Lewin in my shop? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like your skills speaks for itself.
That's the volume.
You don't have to message nobody. You don't have to contact anybody. Word of mouth, travels.
Yeah.
When people say, oh, yeah, Romeo, Pete, that will travel around. Who's this Pete? So when it lands to the footballer's ears, who's Romeo? Who's Pete? And then that's when I start getting footballers like Curtis Jones coming in. I was cutting his hair from like since he was in the academy.
Right.
To now, I've basically now, obviously I've reached in a position where I could no longer basically be there for them because like I said, I've got to be there late in the night time. So I've got to get the younger person, which is Ramsey, go cut them and go look after them. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I'm passing that opportunity to somebody that wants it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you go, you know what I mean? I've done it for so long where now I was like, you know what? I'm passing the opportunity down here to somebody else who can do it. I'm focusing on bigger things.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. It comes back to what I've been saying. This is the opportunities that come from being in a barbershop. You know, your boy wouldn't be in this position if he hadn't been working in your store, working alongside you.
Definitely.
Knowing how to handle himself. No, I think... You know, don't try too quickly to dive out of the barbershop.
No.
I think it's, it's a good opportunity. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop and the life therein. It's about the community that we built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. It'd be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode.
So you just said something really interesting there, Pete, that I want to go on to. Thank you. The service that clients expect, as you say, you know, from celebrity clients, you feel they've got to get some service.
Clientele
now in general are just expecting.
Yeah, definitely.
Expecting
everybody more. Wants nice things. Everyone's driven by, you know, what they see on social media, TikTok, Instagram. People see, you know, other clients receiving the highest level of service. They want to go to the best restaurants. They want to go on the best holidays. And I think everyone wants some kind of level of luxury in their life. You know, people are going to work harder than ever. People are grafting to live now, aren't they? And I think people are rewarding themselves, which is amazing for us. People are, you know, prepared to spend a little bit more money for more luxury things in their life. So yeah, I feel 100% that people, you know, I've seen it with my clients and I've spoke to friends within the industry and their clients are the same. And men are definitely wanting that level of luxury where they're being offered alternative service, additional services on top of, you know, just a haircut. And I feel like it's a great time. Like we were saying before, you know, it's not a time to wallow in the pity of the country. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is. That's going to happen. But I think it's a great time for us to step up and say, well, I'm going to, you know, add more services to my service list, add more services to the menu, give clients more than just a haircut. So yeah, it's a great time for us to step up and take advantage of these times and, you know, make more money. And it's definitely, just give them what they want.
Yeah, so even nowadays, man, it's like myself as well. Yeah, it's like I've started making money now. So when I go to, like, let's say I'm on holiday in Egypt now, yeah, and I go there to get my haircut, somebody else here will just come out of nowhere and start doing your pedicure or manicure and that. Yeah, somebody else is doing your facial. Another person is giving your head massage. And I was like, wow, let me bring this service to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to bring this one here. And then you realize not a lot of people like to look after themselves like that.
Yeah.
But then you do get the odd people here who are making their money and they want that luxury service, like Pete said. Do you know what I mean? Which is brilliant. I think, like, men should take care more of themselves. Do you know what I mean? Get that little beard treatment. Go to the barbershop, have like hair treatment as well. Everyone thinks that, you know, washing hair at home and having it washed in the barbershop, yeah, is the same. It's not. No. Do you know what I mean? Our products that we use are more advanced than what we use at home. And obviously, like, what's better than having somebody else, like, you know, washing their hair and their fingers just running through your... It's relaxing, do you know what I mean? In the day, you're like, we're here to make sure that, you know, that obviously the outside world is, you know, is full of stress and we're here to take that stress away from people.
Yeah. I mean, if you, again, we go back to the beginnings of our careers, you know, I mean, you know, with our place now, you've got a choice of coffees, you've got a choice of beers.
Yes.
We're just in the process of launching facials.
Yeah.
We always used to do quite a bit. I'd say probably about 5-6 years ago, we did quite a lot of wet shaves.
Yeah.
You know, my stores are all in London and we'd do quite, you know, not millions, but you know, we'd have a real steady flow. And I loved having all the hot towels going and all that whole, I love the theatre of a wet shave. And you know, with this, it's lovely having someone else shave your head for you.
Yeah,
it's glorious. And people would walk past the window. I just love the drama of it.
Yeah.
And so we're just about to start doing a hot towel facial.
Right.
And start bringing that in for a new thing. So yeah, I'll let you know if it works and it's worth bringing into your new shop.
Do you know what? It's like, you know, like this whole hot towel shave has disappeared from the industry for a while. Yeah, where everybody that comes in, do you know, do hot towel shaves? You don't do hot towel shaves. And then everyone is moaning at the Turkish barbers, yeah, for doing so well because they're the ones that are doing the hot towel shaves now. And then here we are, you're moaning about it. I'm like, listen, if you're moaning about it, do something about it. You know what I mean? Why don't you offer hot towel services now? And I realize majority of people don't even know how to shave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got to go to college to go study that. Do you know what I mean? Or go to somebody who's experienced shaving.
Yeah, some of these good Turkish barbers that are banging, you know, you'll go in there, you'll pay, even in London, you'll be paying, you know,
£8 or £10
15 quid for a shave. I mean, when we were shaving, and we, like I say, we really don't do much anymore at all now. Yeah, it was £45. £45 for a shave. I don't know if I'd pay £45 for a shave. Whereas, you know, and it would be a long, it would be much more that kind of facial experience. You go and get a shave in, you know, you go and get a shave in Egypt. It's an amazing experience.
Seven quid, man.
It's no money. You feel like you're treated like a king. And it's done brilliantly.
Because culturally, they're doing it day in, day out. They brought me coffee in the barbershop as well. Don't look at it. It's like it's amazing barbershop. It's like top tier barbershop from the chairs, from the decor, everything. And you come in there, they give you coffee, they give you drinks. And I'm like, where is this hospitality in England? And then somebody comes and gives you a facial. And when you go ahead to go and pay for it, how much? And I'm like, this much? And you're like, wow, 7 quid for all of this. And I'm like, here, man, go ahead. And then, you know, it's like 7 quid. So I pay that 7 quid, obviously, you know, like for a service like that, you pay at least about 50 quid. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, here's your 7 quid. And I've tipped every single person in that barbershop, whether they've cut my hair or not cut my hair, I will tip them. And it won't even be more than £10. It'll be less than £10. Do you know what I mean? And it's absolutely amazing, man.
Well, I think that's the problem. It's nice to be able to do, you know, that kind of thing here, but there's a cost involved. You know, like you say, hospitality is an interesting word that, you know, there seems to be a bit of a crossover now
between hospitality,
hairdressing, barbering, hairdressing and hospitality. They're kind of getting a bit overlapped, aren't they?
It's all part of, again, of that luxury service,
that
isn't it?
Luxury service. And you know, but you've got to work that into your price. If you're getting a lovely cup of coffee and a cold beer and a shot of whiskey and a nice head massage and all that kind of stuff, it's all got to go into your price.
Even a nice little small bottle of water here just goes a long way. You know what I mean? You learn that from home, innit? Whenever somebody comes, you just offer them a glass of water. I treat my barbershop nowadays like a home, innit? Like, you're in my house now. Let me give you a cup of water, or just give you a bottle of water, man. And my clients were blown, like mind blown. Is that, yo, I've been coming to you for about 3-4 years, and today's the first time you've offered me a bottle of water. And I was like, can I take the bottle of water home? I was like, be my guest, man. Do you know what I mean? And it's just something simple as water can go a very long way.
But you're really, it's absolutely bang on right, you know. I mean, I always, Jay, you talked about your mother, but, you know, you walked into my house and you'd barely get two steps in before, you know,
for the cup of tea.
Biscuits came out on a saucer. That being a guest in my mother's house was an experience. She wanted you to be pleased, and she wanted to show you that she was pleased that you'd come to her house. And that's what we're... That's when we say barbering and hospitality. It's like, you know, you're coming to Romeo's house. The least he can do is give you the flashiest bottle of water you've ever had in your life.
There's a barber shop that I used to know about in London. They never did the best haircuts, but they did serve like fresh mint tea, and it was the best mint tea.
Yeah.
And everyone would just go there for the mint tea and get their haircuts.
Yeah.
But there is, I mean, it's not the best thing to say, but clients don't always know what a good haircut.
No, a good haircut.
I mean, as barbers, we're all kind of like, that was a bad haircut.
Yeah.
Chances are, it's got to be really quite awful for a client to realise they've had a bad haircut, if we're being really honest. But if you've had really good mint tea, you've had a really good barber who has just absolutely entertained you for 20 minutes, you feel like you've found a mate.
You're going to go back in the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of people with bad haircuts. Even when I do give them a good haircut, they're like, you know what? Yeah, this haircut is just too sharp, and I prefer my old haircut from my old barber. Do you know what I mean?
Too good.
Too good, man. So this haircut is just too good. I just prefer my haircut the way it was before. And I'm like, mate. And then there's another thing that I always wanted to talk about as well. Yeah, it's like every single city you go to, their low skin fade is actually a mid skin fade. And their mid skin fade is actually a high skin fade. So whenever I get like Irish clients, I know their skin fade is always going to be a high skin fade, but for some reason they call it mid skin fade. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I give the guy a mid skin fade how I would normally do it, he was like, mate, that's a bit too low. That's a low fade, Dad. And I was like, you want to argue with me? I'm the barber. So when I gave him my high skin fade, after that he goes, yeah, this is the medium skin fade that I was looking for. So when I told him, like, see, I knew it, you'd want a high skin fade. Because I said it was a high skin fade, he got very, very offended. He goes, you give me a high skin fade? How dare you give me a high skin fade? And I was like, mate, it's a medium skin fade. Like, calm down. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That happened to me last week, man.
This is what we're talking about in part one. You know, it's you can't please everyone all the time.
Yeah, man, you can't.
That's it. I think that's what you got to do. You got to set yourself apart, haven't you? And everyone's got to have like their USP. Everyone, you know, you come to Romeo, you get the snazzy water, you get the enhancements, you get the, you know what you're getting. People need to know what they're getting and what they're paying for. My clients, you know, obviously come to me for my level of service, for my haircuts, and I think you've just got to kind of stay in you've got to create that USP, haven't you, to find your space in the market. And like we were saying before, someone will go and pay for a £7 haircut, someone will, you know, come for a £100 haircut. It's just all, there's enough people for everyone to go around.
Well, I mean, you know, we're on an island now with what? We're 85 million people in the UK now.
Yeah.
Half of men, I'm going to keep the sums really easy. Yeah. You know, half the men, we've got over 40 million men needing a haircut. I think there's business out there for
us. There's business for everybody, man.
I think you've just got to find out who you are, and you've got to locate you've got to let the clients know that you're the place for them to come to, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
You just got to market yourself in a way where people get like, they buy into your personality more than they do buy into your haircuts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly most of my clients, you know, I'd think of as friends. I see them so regularly. It's like... Yeah, I look forward to catching up with them every 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, it's always a good, and I'm just as happy to see them as they are me. And I think that's a good shout. I'm going to finish with one last question, which has been sent in to me, which is, you know, how do you cope with the financial pressures of owning a business, setting a business up? How do you cope with the stress of it all?
I think it comes from experience, I feel. My granddad was the one who kind of educated me on how I needed to set myself up to start in a business. He wasn't a businessman, but he was just always really good with money. Obviously, you know, he came from hard times when you'd have to be really thrifty with money. And he always said to me, you know, you need to set yourself up in a business where it's gonna cost you 1 month's, 1 week's money. You need to put away for your business, and then you can, you know, hopefully the other 3 weeks will be your money.
Yeah.
And I kind of went into business with that mindset. So, you know, a week out of the month will hopefully cover my rent, my bills, and all the other outgoings. And then the other 3 weeks money will work out to be, well, for me, and, you know, if I've got any staff or anything like that. So I kind of looked at it from that point of view early on going into business. But then obviously, you know, the longer I've been in business, I've learned how to divvy out the money, you know, how to set budgets, and you've just got to be really careful and understand, you know, understand money. I know so many people, I've got so many mates in this industry, and around New Year they'll be like, shit, I've spent all my tax money, like, what I'm going to do, do you know what I mean? I haven't kept my books all year. I don't know how much tax I owe. I've got this bill through, and now I'm screwed. And it's easy. I think I can see why it's easy for that to happen to people. Do you know what I mean? You're working in an industry where you're getting your money every day. You don't have to wait once a month to get money in. So you're getting money in every day if you're working for yourself, and it'd be so easy just to go and spend that money every day. I think, you know, if you are looking on going into starting, you know, business or working for yourself, you need to educate yourself on how to manage money and how to, you know, manage finances. And it's definitely a big learning curve.
But the more you understand it, the less stressful it goes.
That's it. Yeah.
Where's you on the stress and strains of it all?
For myself, I First of all, yeah, stressing, yeah, will cause people to have hair loss. That's number one for me, and so that's what I live by, and so I try not to stress a lot about money. Do you know what I mean? Because like I said, innit, like, you know, if in this life, if you're meant to be rich, you're gonna be rich. If money is coming your way, it's coming. I don't stress about money at all. Even if I haven't got money to pay for this and pay for that. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I've got that stress of money like I used to when I first started barbering. Where now, yeah, it's like I'm humble about things. I'm careful about what I spend my money on. Like before that, yeah, when I was obviously, whenever I tried to obviously buy a nice car, I'm going to get on business lease to start with to see how I get on with that car. Mm-hmm. I was driving a Mercedes GLE and then I realized how much money I was spending on fuel. And I was like, you know what? I don't want that car. Do you know what I mean? Nowadays, I'm driving a Kia. I'm happy with it. When it comes to repair it, cheap. Yeah. Everything runs cheap. Yeah. I scratched the wheels on the GLE when that bill came of like £500 just to take the scratch off the wheels. I was like, this is not me, man. This is, do you know what I mean? This is what a footballer is supposed to have, yeah. Not me, not yet. Do you know what I mean? When my time comes, it comes, like, do you know what I mean? Like I said to everybody, like, people need to be very careful on what they spend their money on. A lot of them, they try to spend money just to look good on social media. Do you know what I'm saying? Just to please other people. Like, hey, man, if your hair in your pockets, man, don't do it, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what
good,
I mean?
Good. I like that. If it ain't in your pocket, don't do it.
Do it, man.
Boys, thank you. I guess the idea really is it's not always. I think we've had lots of conversations about how you put money in your pocket and in your till. I quite like that now we're just talking about actually looking at what you're spending it out on.
Yeah.
Is your business not succeeding because you're... your life
spending too much money.
Yeah. People are spending too much money champagne, like, financing their lifestyle. Yeah. I'm like, look,
you're a barber, not a Premier League footballer.
Yeah, people don't care like what you're wearing. Like you're gonna go and buy a £500 t-shirt. After a couple of weeks here, boom, the value's dropped down, you've overworn it looks bad, you've wasted your money. Do you know what I mean? Like look at me, I'm looking great, and I've literally just shopped at Temu. Do you know what I mean? It's cost me what, a shape up. that's how I look at my money nowadays. When I go somewhere to go and buy a phone for like £800, I'm looking at it thinking, how many haircuts is that? Hey, that's gonna be about what, like 20 haircuts. So whenever I go spend money like £20, oh, that's only like half a haircut. You know what I mean? I go somewhere £30, or that's only one haircut. Or I go somewhere for lunch and I've spent about £120, or that's only four haircuts. Mm-hmm. So the way I think about money is just through haircuts, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you think about it that way, your life becomes much easier and much cheaper, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Boys, thank you very much for your time. We've been the Noble Barber. We're now going to go and try and be as fabulous as Romeo is. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for your time. Okay. Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch. And come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.